That's right. We're staying alive, too, right over here on WCRS Radio. Protests going on in Uptown Greenwood so far has been very peaceful. It's been what I would consider probably a good march, and that is, of course, what we wanted to see. We wanted to see that people did what was right by protesting and keeping their rights. So thank goodness for that. Now, along with that, we weren't sure we were going to have him here, but Sheriff Dennis Kelly is here. He, of course, is up for re-election. In fact, the primary is a week from today. That's right, a week from today. So, Dennis, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Everything's been going good today.
It's a good day?
It's a good day.
Well, that's a good thing. I know there was a lot of concern about whether it was going to be a good day or not.
That's right. There was a lot of people on social media trying to cause some fear in some people, but we checked out those leads and information and dispelled most of them, or all of them. We hadn't had any violence today. It's been good.
That's right. And, of course, this is a Black Lives Matter protest. It was organized, I believe, by, Travis Green?
And Mr. Wilson.
And Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
So that's what's been going on. In fact, it's going on right now in Uptown Greenwood. Looks like they marched down Main Street towards the CVS, but I don't think they went that far.
I think they turned at the KFC.
Right. And I was very impressed that we had sheriff and police escorting them, making sure they stayed safe. And it looks like it's been appropriate for what our First Amendment rights are.
That's correct. Yeah, we offered up with the chief police and myself. They offered up to escort to keep them safe, and they were on board with that. So it went well.
That's great. All right. However, all of Uptown Greenwood is closed down. Most of the businesses closed.
Some closed, some didn't. It was their choice. We didn't advise anybody they needed to close or had to close, because we never got any intel that panned out that there was going to be any violence. So we were just making them aware that there was a march and a protest, but didn't advise anybody to close down.
Sure.
Or the sheriff's office didn't.
Right. Most on the main street right there are closed. But I don't know how much longer it's supposed to go on, or do they have a time frame that they're thinking about?
They talked about going till 7 o'clock, but it's warm, and that was before they started walking, so
they may change their mind. They were headed back to the fountain.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes,
right.
Ma'am.
So just be advised of that. But Sheriff Kelly has been our sheriff here in Greenwood for 4 years, and you're up for re-election. There is a primary. There are several that are running, and, of course, you are running, too. I was curious as I was thinking about this interview. What is your priority as a leader for the sheriff's department?
Just to let the community know that I'm an honest and ethical sheriff, and that I will hold people accountable in my department and in the community. And my main purpose is to protect the citizens of Greenwood, and that they can trust that I will complete the task.
Yes. And what about with your staff, with the people that work for you, Dennis?
Right. When I first started, I explained to everybody my views and what I stood for, and the ones that can't get on board, then some of them have left, and those that have not left, I think, got a pretty good staff.
Good staff.
Yep.
Now, how many employees are you actually responsible for? Total, I guess.
Right.
Total.
Yeah. I have 911, the detention, and uniform patrol, and some administrative personnel, and right around 140 up to 150 at full staff.
Okay. So does that mean you're about 10 people short?
Close to that.
Close to that.
And that's counting in, like I say, some dispatch personnel.
Where is your shortage the biggest?
It's usually in detention center and uniform patrol. Sometimes officers go other places, state jobs for more money, and then sometimes they decide to go back into the secular world, I guess.
Secular world. Okay. All right. Well, just out of curiosity, how are you trying to fill these vacancies?
We go to, or I go personally, and I carry my staff from dispatch and detention officers to like Piedmont Tech. We go to job fairs. We on our internet webpage, we advertise. We have signs out, and we also tell our employees, you know, if they know of anybody that's interested, that we look for good people. And since I've been the sheriff, I started community updates, which I go to different parts of the community and set up meetings with citizens. And at those meetings, we also tell them if they know of anyone that's interested in law enforcement, detention, or dispatch to please apply.
Well, I mean, so does that mean that it is an ongoing process to get people on board with the sheriff's office?
It is. It's always ongoing. Like I say, you lose people due to disciplinary actions to, like I say, other people just going to other jobs to people leaving for more money. Like I say, the state usually pays more than we can pay in most jobs, and so sometimes we lose them to those jobs as well.
Well, how about you? Are you out there recruiting from other sheriff's office to get them to come to Greenwood?
Well, we have hired some few from other office, sheriff's office, but I don't go out and actively try to pull another sheriff's people, but if they're interested and they're leaving, you know, we definitely take their application and go through the process, and if they qualify, we feel like they're a good fit with us, we definitely would hire them.
Now, just out of curiosity, how does Greenwood stack up as far as pay? Across the, Lawrence, Abbeville, I mean, Saluda, Newberry, you know, the counties that are surrounding us.
Right. I just got the, a couple years ago, I got detention officers raised and got the uniform patrol deputies raised just this past year. And so we are probably one of the highest paid out of those, but a lot of those agencies like Abbeville and McCormick and Saluda, they're not as big as we are. And so, you know, of course, we can pay a little more being a bigger county. Mm-hmm. But there again, we can't pay like Greenville or Anderson, some of those larger agencies pay.
Right. So what's it going to take to fill those vacancies? Because I would presume that it's hard when you are short 10 people and we'd only have so many patrol people out there patrolling, for example. It has to be difficult to keep all the shifts covered.
Well, we got them covered, but of course, it's always good to have more people out, have good captains and lieutenants out there managing the people and the shifts. And if we have vacancies, of course, we can use some overtime to pay guys on their days off to help when needed. So, but we absolutely recruiting. Makes it a little difficult, like even with city officers, Greenwood City, if you start pulling their officers, I start hiring them from the city, they're already short, then they can't make all their calls, so we have to assist anyway, and you have to work well with the other agencies. If you start pulling all their employees, then it's just hard to, you know, to have a good work relationship with other agencies. So it's not hard, but we work well with all the agencies around, and so hopefully we don't cause tension between by hiring their personnel out from under them, but you know, certain circumstances we might would hire somebody from another agency, but we still got to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so staffing is an issue because Greenwood is such a big county too, and when you have your, I guess, your uniform patrol, those that travel around, that has to be tough. Do we have enough to cover everything?
I mean, we cover our zones. We have a north, central, and a south zone. And but here lately, you know, with a lot of the, and like I say, you have to target your personnel where you have your main crimes going on. So most of the time, the major of the crimes are in or around about the city. And we, of course, we work well with them. We assist them if they have shootings in the city, or if we have them in the county, they assist us. So it's just hard to. Some of the rural areas where it doesn't have very much crime, of course, you know, we're not seeing quite as much, but they do patrol there unless we get calls back in toward the central zone.
So, you know, we've had, everybody always talks about the crime in Greenwood, the violence, the gun violence, the gang violence, and it's at a very high level. And of course, that can affect us getting industry in here, people's desire to live and move here. So what is the sheriff doing about the violence, the gun violence, the high rate of crime, mainly related to drugs, gangs, and gun violence, I think?
That's right.
And those are all related to because of, right? Other crimes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, drugs especially drive a lot of the other crimes, especially thefts and burglaries. And then, of course, a lot of gangs, that's how they make their money, you know, selling drugs. But I have a very good work relationship with a lot of the pastors and community leaders in town, and we meet occasionally to discuss things that we can do in their community and reach out to the people and the families in those areas to come forward and assist us in identifying some of the shooters, which is some...
How's that working?
Well, we have the last couple shooting city in the county, you know, people have told us who it was and we made arrest. And other than that, sometimes it's very difficult, even if you get shell casings and recover a gun that we can absolutely prove it was involved in a shooting, you can't ID the shooter without a witness. And so it makes it tough on us, but we work those high crime areas, we patrol those areas, and we make other charges if we get them with drugs and guns and any other kind of violations that they're committing crimes, and make those charges.
And how is it in developing relationships within the communities, within each, because, I mean, we've got the communities all around Greenwood. How are you doing on establishing those relationships? You know, we used to have the neighborhood watch. I think that's not as up to snuff as it once was. How are we doing on that?
And, well, that was one reason I started the community update meetings that targets different sections of the county. And, of course, if the county council member in that in their district, and they attend if they have issues with some of their citizens there, and they relate to them. But I regularly have meetings with community members at churches, schools, or in a civic building, wherever in their community, to discuss issues. We put out the crime that's going on in their area and what they can do to help us combat crime, and also if they have suggestions or they see things, and me going out and carrying some of my staff with me, we build relationships with those people in the community, which has helped.
So you feel that this is a path for the future?
Absolutely. They see me in their community on a regular basis, build relationships, and they feel like they can come talk with me, either confidential or if, you know, they want to be a witness, if they know that I'm going to be forthcoming and transparent with them, that they can trust me. I think it goes a long ways.
Okay. So then, okay, I go back to my original question. Why do we have so much gun violence, drug violence, gang violence? How come we have so much?
Well, in my opinion, it's a lot of breakdown of the family, and a lot of these young people just not getting the guidance that they need to be responsible and being held accountable. And they get in that gang lifestyle, and that's their family. If they don't have attention that they need or feel like they need, they are drawn to these gangs. And so a lot of the people, even some of the gang members that are out there, will not listen to even some of the ministers, even some of the family members. As far as I know, in the past, a lot of the grandparents could talk to these young people and they would listen, and right now they just
a lot of grandparents have raised a lot of these kids.
That's right.
You know, that's the thing about it. Yeah. So but I guess back to my only question, my question is it working? Is it working? Have we seen, is there any statistics? Is there anything that you can point to that say, yeah, things are better?
I haven't pulled any statistics as far as, say, it's getting better. There's a lot of shooting out there. Go to the Sheriff's Association. We network with other sheriffs, even people out of state. The National Sheriff's Association, we reach out to about plans and things that they're doing in their counties to combat these crimes that are going on. Every county, a lot of the counties, I'd say, in the state are having the same issues, and they're doing exactly what we're doing. We have a list of all the gang members. We know who they are. We have a gang net system set up through SLED that we track them. We know the areas they're in, so we patrol in those high crime areas and trying to make arrests for things, and actually trying to, you know, determine who the shooters are. We know who they are, but we just can't make some cases on those attempted murders if the people don't is not willing to be a witness in those cases.
What, you know, we had that case last week, I believe it was, where the guy was down in Myrtle Beach, and he was shot by, both of them were from Greenwood. They were down in Myrtle Beach. How come they were able to get that guy under, lock him up so quick?
Talking with Myrtle Beach, they were actually, it was Memorial Weekend, which they normally have the bike fest that week, and they didn't have the bike fest, but they still knew there would be a lot of people there, so they bring in outside, and a lot of state agencies respond to there, and they have several officers on every corner, and with talking to them, when the shots went out, their officers were right, just, you know, a few hundred yards away, seen the individual running, apprehended him, and they also had him on video, and if my understanding, they got a confession. So,
and then we had the shooting, though, what was it, just a few days afterwards up here in Greenwood that is related to that one. Where are we at on that one?
Right. There again, without a witness, somebody telling us who the shooter is, it's tough. But we're still investigating. That's a city case, but, you know, we're assisting. Like I say, we know pretty much who it is, definitely the gang that it was, and we still, like I say, investigating, but we would love for somebody to come forward and so we can make an arrest and get these individuals off the street.
How many gangs do we have in Greenwood?
I don't know exact number. There's several different, but the majority of the issues we have is a lot with, I don't want to really give them recognition by calling their name, but I don't know, 4 or 5, and we call them local or neighborhood gangs, and then of course some of them, you know, or if not all of them, are affiliated either with the Bloods or the Cribs, but
those are the big ones.
So
when it comes down to schools and resource officers, how is that working? Are we having any success with getting to these kids at a younger age, maybe through the school resource officers?
We do. The school resource officers, they know a lot of these young men and girls, women, that are associated with the gangs, and of course they monitor them. A lot of them will talk to them, and they have some good information. Sometimes we have shootings, and it's teenagers. Those resource officers have good information for us and direct us in the right direction to, as far as our investigation and making an arrest sometimes.
How are these kids getting guns?
Most time, a lot of them are being stolen out of vehicles, and a lot of them are unlocked vehicles. People, for whatever reason, leave a weapon in a car and do not secure it or lock it. And people just go around pulling door handles, and when they're open, they get in quick and take guns, money, and they're gone. And
where do the majority of these things happen?
They're all over. We can't target. They'll be on one side of town one night and the other. They just go around neighborhoods, somebody driving. They let 3 or 4 out, and they go down the street where there's in neighborhoods where houses are fairly close together and just pull door handles. And if the car's open, they go through it real quick, and they move on.
So we don't hear much about that, though, Dennis.
Yeah.
We don't hear much about that.
Right. Well, that's what I cover at my community update meetings. That's one thing we stress. Lock your cars, lock your doors, because...
Seems like that's something that should be out there for the general public to know, though,
yeah.
Right?
Well, we do. We put it on our Sheriff's Office Facebook page. We put it out regularly when we have a lot of those. They go in spurts. Sometimes they hit a lot of cars, break-ins, and then they kind of quit doing it for a while. And a lot of times it has to do with who we have locked up in the detention. Got your regulars, that's their MO, so.
Do we have regular criminals, Dennis? Is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
That they don't change their MO. They, you know, if they're breaking car guys, they're breaking car guys. If they're stealing golf carts, they're stealing golf carts.
Yep.
They're all different.
Yeah, a lot of them do scrap metal. We know sometimes when those certain items are missing or getting stolen, and we look at our booking sheet, and if they're not in jail, they're usually a good suspect.
Careers, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Careers. Okay. Well, you know, I know you want to continue in your job. It is an elected post. So if you are given 4 more years, how will the sheriff's office, with you as sheriff, be able to make inroads into the gun violence, the drugs, and the gangs?
Like I say, we got to get to the young people. It's not a quick fix. It's going to take some time to get these young people out of the lifestyle they're in. And like I said, can't do it without the community's help, either family members, pastors, civic groups, law enforcement, building relationships with those people, and combating it that way. Of course, if we can get witnesses, we can lock some of them up. And of course, that'll deter a good bit of the crime if we can get them arrested and get them trial dates set up and get them convicted.
Now, how many cases are waiting for a trial right now that you've got in the detention center?
I don't know the exact number that's waiting for trial, but we got a good many. Some of them been in there, you know, a year, a little longer, two, close, waiting on a trial, different levels of crime. A lot of them are not in jail. They make bond. We have several out with attempted murder charges that are out on bond, still in our community.
Attempted murder charges.
That's correct.
Well, that's kind of scary, Dennis.
It is, but we continue to lock these individuals up, charge them with gun charges, drug charges. They continue to make bond, and they're back in our community.
How well do you work with the solicitor's office? Because I would think that that would have to be a relationship that would have to be a good one if this was going to have success in our community.
Yeah, that's correct. It's always good to work well with any agency, any division. And we regularly send, from my detention, Major Smith, he sends the list over to the inmates that we have on a regular basis, people that are causing problems in our detention, trying to get some of those people to trial.
And how does that work with Solicitor Stumbo?
Yeah, we, like I say, I don't control what he does on his side. We just, as they call the cases and get them to court, and also the inmates, you know, have attorneys, and they set up meetings with them and the solicitor's office to try to get some of them to plead and to either go to trial. But like I say, we willing to go to trial on our cases. We feel like we make good cases and ready to go to trial and get some of these shooters and gun toters off the street.
Absolutely. So in does it keep you awake, not being able to solve or get some of this off the street? I mean, it has to be a bother to know that our crime rate is so high and people be looking at you as what are you doing about it, Dennis?
Right. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I sleep pretty good, but once I wake up, then, you know, in the middle of the night, you start thinking about things, you know, that are going on out there. And of course, in my position, I get texts or calls all during the night if, you know, something major's going on, and have to either get up and go out or make phone calls to make sure things are, you know, handled right. So sometimes it causes some sleepless nights.
And I would think it would cause sleepless nights. I would think that one of your prime objectives would be to reduce the crime in our area, get it under control.
That's right. Yeah, that's our main objective, is to keep citizens safe in Greenwood County. Absolutely.
What would make a difference if the world was a your oyster as sheriff? What would make a difference to combating crime? You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. What would make a difference in combating crime if everything was, I think you have equipment, cars, employees. I mean, what would make a difference in what we need to be able to combat crime in our community?
Well, first, these individuals out there committing crimes to choose a different lifestyle, but then, like I've covered before, absolutely community help. We solve, you know, a good many crimes without their help, but with their help, it sends a message to those individual committing crimes that they're not going to tolerate that in their community. And as long as they're not coming forward to assist us, those individuals get more bold in committing those crimes.
How can they communicate with you without putting their own lives in jeopardy?
Right. They can, most of them know. They can call 911. You don't have to give your name, information.
Yeah, but they can check you out on 911. They have a geo tracker. They know who you are and where you are.
Well, they might could determine the number, but they wouldn't know exactly who's on the other end. But us as officers, if we give out the information on who's giving us information and they're not wanting us to, then that really hurts our communication line with the citizens, and they can't trust us. You're right. They're not going to give us any information. So we can absolutely assure them that, you know, we will keep them confidential if that's what their wishes.
And if you're dealing with a shooting or something, I'm sure somebody doesn't want to say, I saw Joe Blow do this. I mean, in a trial or something. So I would presume they're giving you the information to then go out and make the case.
Yeah, they give us information that gives us leads and a right. direction that we can go in our investigation and helps clear up some of them. But like I said, in the past couple of shootings, some of them, witnesses come forward and told us exactly who did it, and we went and made arrest, and they're absolutely willing to come to court. And those are the kind of cases that makes it a lot easier on us and the solicitor's office to prosecute.
Sure. And when you – now – anything else that that is an issue? So you never really finished answering me. If everything was your oyster as the sheriff, what would make a difference in our community to solving crimes, keeping Greenwood safe, bringing the crime rate down? Is there anything that you don't have in your toolbox to work with other than community involvement from the people? Is there anything else that you feel is lacking?
Well, of course, you know, we have some openings, but of course, we can get our staff up and get extra uniform patrol out and extra investigators to help follow up on some of these shooting incidents. More people would definitely help. And but, you know, it's always something. We got four or five out with injuries from doing their job, and they're out of work. And it seems like every time you get ahead, you lose a couple of people, and then some you lose for disciplinary or whatever reasons they decide to resign if they're not following some of the rules. So it's a task to keep personnel up. But like I say, if we had 10 more officers, you know, it always helpful to help cover the calls. And plus that takes a lot of stress off the officers if they're not going on so many calls.
Right. You know, our country is so up in arms right now over the George Floyd and Greenwood. Of course, we've been very blessed so far to only have peaceful protests and everything. How do you feel about how the sheriff's offices handle black-white? Do you think we have an issue here? Are there problems with this here? And how are you as the sheriff able to handle those?
I think any agency anywhere in the country is going to have some degree of, you know, racial tension. But like I say, knowing that the leadership is going to be transparent and open and address whatever issues you have. Of course, the body cams help greatly. They hold the officer accountable, and also tells us what the suspect or violator may be doing. And that goes a long ways, those video body cams and the car dash cams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, in closing here, Sheriff Dennis Kelly, we want to tell the folks why you'd like another opportunity for another 4 years. What? It's your oyster. You've got 2 minutes here.
Well, I covered it a good bit. Continuing to reach out to the community to build that relationship. And like we talked about with the racial issues, it's great to have a great relationship with the ministers in those communities and civic leaders, county council leaders in those districts. That's our main issue and our main focus, is to build those relationships to help get those citizens on board to help us with whatever issues. They know they can come forward, discuss those things with us, and we'll address them and go in the right direction. And we definitely working hard out there. I got men and women that work at nights when most people are home in the bed asleep, combating crime, putting their life on the lines. And I got a team, good team in place, and we're going to continue to combat the crime and hopefully reduce crime in Greenwood.
So I guess you'd like to ask the folks for your vote.
Absolutely. Vote Sheriff Dennis Kelly, re-election June the 9th.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff Dennis Kelly. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'll be back in the morning. Let's everybody stay safe out there and stay calm.